I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about The Future Diary, which was HMG's choice from Happily Married Gamer from the podcast of Will I Continue that Rick and I actually guest on. They invited us on, and so we talked to them. So if you want to check that out, I'll have the links for that in the show notes for y'all. They were gracious enough to provide us with those. And also, before all this, we were talking about some of the future plans for the episodes, recording schedule and everything like that for us. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, as well as some preliminary thoughts on the actual show itself, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you that bonus content and more. Now, on to the meat and potatoes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. The Future Diary. So- came out.
I'll let you go. Sorry. I got ahead of myself.
Sorry. It's I had to take a deep breath, had to center myself simply because it was you know, it was such a great show. There were no issues or problems at all for anything.
Start to finish.
For a show that aired in October 2011 all the way through April 2012 that had producers of Kurokawa, sadly not some of the best work that I've ever seen. But anyways, Duango, Atlantis, just to name a couple of them, as Reed for the studio. It's based off of a manga. The genres are action, mystery, supernatural, suspense, psychological, shonen. And it was rated R, most definitely. Just want to throw that out there for anyone that feels like they can watch this with kids. I highly suggest you wait for your kids to go to bed. So,
Or lock the door.
But not for the way reasons that Rick probably is insinuating there.
You know what?
Whatever floats your boat. All right. Now on to the meat and potatoes. The Future Diary, it focuses on two main characters, Yuno and Yukitera, who are dragged in to a game to become God. And they are given a diary, each person, and you find out that there's 12, you know, ironically, you know, it's kind of makes sense when you think about it, right?
12 hours in a day, or
12 hours in a day. There's 12 diaries. One of the producers for it is 12 diary holders. I mean, like, it starts to make sense. All starts to come together.
Falls into line. No, like, it's got a good premise.
This
could have been amazing. I feel that the animators or the storyboarders unfortunately squandered something with great potential. And what I mean by that is that almost every character we find in the 26 episode series matures in some kind of way or changes or mutates, right? They're not the same people they started the game with. And my biggest flaw, or biggest, faux pas, biggest thing I get annoyed with the most is the lack of progression that our main character gets.
There's two.
Well, and our male lead.
Yukitera is, I feel, so one of the things, and I know a lot of people say, well, you know, he's a kid. He's, you know, he's going to act that way, or he's going to be that way, or this and that. And I get that. I understand it. I understand he's a kid. I understand he's like thrown into a situation where it's a literal death match and he's, you know, not emotionally equipped to be able to handle those circumstances. But at the same time, you had like a 8-year-old thrown into the exact same situation or not even an 8-year-old. He's like even younger than that.
I thought he was like 5 or 6.
Yeah. So he's even older than that. or younger than that, and he's thrown in the exact same situation, and homeboy does, has no problem like adapting to the situation. Hey, you know what I can do? I'm going to do this. I'm going to murder some people. I'm going to murder the people that murdered my family. And at the same time, I'll become a god. And
yeah, and every single person in this anime. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and honestly, that's the entire premise, right? You have 12 people, 12 diary holders, and they're all in a death contest to become gods. And that's the basis for this entire story. The entire foundation is just that. And it's an, I think it's a very unique concept. It's a very intriguing concept, especially in the later episodes where, you know, you kind of delve into some other aspects we'll get into a little bit later on. But the story progression, the character progression, I feel was it was there for every character. And for every character, you understood or saw their background to understand the emotional scarring or something like that that happened for each and every character, or just about for every character, that allowed them to progress.
So, I mean, yes, that in and of itself is what happened. But what my biggest... The cool part about this show is the fact that every diary has a different function, essentially. And its versatility as well as its information, it varies from phone to phone. For instance, the first one essentially tracks the second one. And the second one tracks his own surroundings. The third one, I forget what that one does.
So each diary, and this is one of the things that I actually really liked, each diary plays to the type of individual that they were and the type of diary that they kept, right? So it's not that they just randomly kept a diary or they randomly received a diary. So take Yuno's diary, for example. Her diary is the Yukiteru diary, and everything in her diary was always about Yukiteru. Yukiteru's diary is called the Indiscriminate Diary simply because it took log, and he took log and recorded everything that happened around him. Not to him specifically, but to around him. One was always a log of how they escaped. Another one was a log of their kills and how they killed. Another one was basically how, you know, what everyone's doing and who's what where for their area. You know,
one was so this chick had one that basically let her look at anybody's future in which she plans to flirt with them. So there's a prerequisite. It's an overpowered thing is all hell.
So hang on. That wasn't her true diary, though.
Oh, that was eighth sub.
That was the eighth sub diary. So that's where it kind of got interesting, right? So you have all these diaries, and then you have Eighth, who's basically known as Mother. And her diary was a server for other diaries. And everyone basically got a future diary based on the diaries that they were keeping in there.
And the machine, yeah.
Yeah. So you had her, and then you also you had I, and then you had Marco. And Marco...
We ever actually see Marco?
Yeah, big old hair, not up in the front, long.
Okay, so which one didn't we see?
It was are you talking about like the one that was like up in the tree? Hi? Is that who you're talking about?
I don't know. Of the trio, the one that set off the bombs. I don't think I ever saw him in the show. Yeah,
but he was only a sub diary. He wasn't a true diary holder. So
I was wondering what he actually looked like.
I'm assuming dressed up like a ninja, like the rest of them. All right. So that's what I'm going with. But they were able to get, basically because they had a second diary, they had two diaries, and one was basically the people they flirt with, or in Marco's cases, the type of counters that he would do. But they had the lover's diary. And so they basically had a diary about the other person so they could switch off in between each other and see what's going on.
And they're super powered if you link up.
I don't
like the diaries. What? So if those two, the lover's diaries, if they could read each other's, they'd be reading their own futures.
Yeah.
Whereas with with one and two, our main protagonists, if they were to read them both and actually use them the right way, rather than reading the top two lines and then seeing disaster, we could read them. If you hit pause, it'll translate. And then two lines after they stop reading is disaster. And they're like, oh, I don't need to read that. Click. Let's keep going.
Right. Because they can't read too far into the future because it hasn't quite happened yet. And the reason why it hasn't happened yet, it's not necessarily that it's set in stone either. So they read it and they change it and say that changes. So that extra information that they read is just completely useless. The real power comes in the trust that the Sevens had for each other and the fact that they were able to communicate with each other effectively. One and two didn't. So Yukiterra being number one, the first, and Yuno being the second, Yuno completely trusted and cared and loved for and was infatuated with Yukiterra. Yuki did not trust or at least ever fully trust Yuno. Like at any point in time,
for good reason.
You know, I mean, yeah, kind of, sort of, maybe.
Yeah, no, she was nuts, solidly just certifiable, and the fact that she was able to kill so easily scared the crap out of me. Just indiscriminately. It's almost like she had training, but she never had training
that you know of.
That is fair.
So here's the thing, right, about the show. It's an interesting show in this fact that no matter what, you have people that are in some fashion able to keep a diary or using their diary for whatever reason and based on their personality. And it either plays to their advantage if they're smart about it, because they'll also know their weaknesses and how to truly use their diary, or they'll be like Yuki, who doesn't truly understand the powers of his diary, doesn't understand it, you know, and the fallbacks of it and everything else, only understands it surface level, and totally squanders and cries and moans and groans and complains about his situation the whole way through.
And did we mention there was some seriously good character development throughout the whole series?
For him? I mean, yeah, we
mentioned... You didn't hear that either, huh?
Yeah, no.
It didn't happen.
It didn't. It happened for everyone else right before they died.
I would say Yuki didn't have it as well.
Well, Yuki
she was.
You mean Yuno?
Yuno. Sorry.
Yuno didn't have to have a true character development. You just had to fill in the blanks as to what the hell was going on. Which, I mean, if you're paying attention, you have a pretty solid clue at the beginning of episode one. But I digress.
You do, though.
You do.
You do digress.
I do.
Because I paused it a few times. I was like, there's got to be some kind of clue in here.
There is.
To let me know what's going on.
There is.
Yeah, once you know what you're looking for.
Yeah, I never said. I never said you didn't have to know what you were looking for. Once you knew what was going on, once you knew what you were looking for, everything just immediately makes sense at that point for the show. Like, there is nothing to say at any point during that where it doesn't make sense until you get to the later episodes of it. And when you get to the later episodes of it, you could start looking back on the rest of the series and go, that makes so much more sense now. That makes 100% more sense.
And that's the mark, in my opinion, of a really good anime, a really good book too, where the minuscule minor things that you notice that you're like, that doesn't make too much sense. When it's finally cleared up, they don't show you, they don't do it for you. You yourself go click. Oh my God, that's how this fits perfectly into the new story that I have here. And it happens like four or five times where you have a piece that should fit and almost does, but not really. You know, it's like an incomplete puzzle that's missing about eight or nine pieces.
Yeah.
And you finally found one of those eight or nine. You click it in. You're like, that's so satisfying. But what about the rest? I don't quite have the full picture yet. And you eventually do, which is, you know, great. And I like the way they went about it then with the showing rather than the telling. However, I'd have much rather been told about our main character's growth pattern, because I was shown that he's spineless, inconsistent.
That was the mainstay, though. That was the mainstay for him.
He was kind of a piece of crap.
He was a piece of crap. He So, and this is one of the things, right? Like, mm-hmm. people will make the argument, he's a kid, he's this, he's that, you know, doesn't matter. You know, didn't act like a kid. I'll tell you that right now. That 4-year-old, 5-year-old, whatever, did not act like his age. None of the characters that understood the true gravity of the situation, regardless of the age, did not complain about everything. And half the time, whatever he was doing, it, honestly, and I'll say this, if he listened to Yuno, he would have progressed and not had as many problems as he did, period. Like,
well, his biggest issue is trust.
His biggest issue, he trusts everyone else instantly, except for the one person that literally kept saving his life.
Because she had the crazy eyes.
So what? Literally. Literally.
You're out here advocating for the crazy eyes. You're like, the crazy ones will save you or kill you. It's up to you.
In this case, this is 100% true. In this case,
she saved him to kill him.
No, she didn't save him to kill him.
Oh,
did you miss that whole thing? Like, literally.
Oh, no, I didn't. I did not miss it at all. I understand where it's going with. But like, when he turned against her, she was like, I'm going to have to do things to make you see my way.
Well, it's not the even torture that was
part of it.
It's not even that, right? It's her just finally snapping and rewriting her own memory, which they do reference quite a few times. And
even in chat in show titles, like, you know, memory erase and then crossed wires and then whenever I would see something that looked like it was intentionally written to signify mental illness of some kind, I was like, I know what kind of episode this is going to be. And I was right most of the time.
Yeah, I'm not saying that everything that she did was right or how she went about it was great. However, when you're dealing with someone as insanely incompetent as Yuki, you kind of have to take some drastic measures.
I'd say drastic measures were taken in the form of his friends trying to save some kind of sanity, you know? Right. There was rules that were laid out when everyone, and the god, how generic does a god have to be listed as Deus Ex Machina, you know? And you're like, I mean, okay, sure, a god can be named that. Usually Deus Ex Machina is a item of some kind that ends up being a save all. Something a character pulls out the back and just obliterates with no prior knowledge or whatever. And it's kind of funny because the god is who's supposedly god of time and all that stuff is like, I need a successor. Me, Deus Ex Machina, the guy who comes in and saves everything all the time, needs a successor. I'm going to choose one of you guys. Kill each other. Go.
Right. Well, the entire breakdown and the, you know, background for the story, how they decided to come up with the whole story or battle or thing for the next god, which I have questions on in and of itself, it's kind of ridiculous. But are we saying, like, are we under the impression, are we of the mindset that that god or this god in particular, at least this god particularly, is not limitless? He has a finite lifespan?
You think it's self-imposed?
I don't know. I mean, like that murmur that's mm-hmm. with him, I have a feeling that maybe not, because she would still be there.
You know what I thought originally? You know what I thought originally? Huh. I thought that we were looking at a life cycle where Deus Ex was dying and Murmur was born to replace him. And Murmur was essentially Deus eventually. You know what I mean? So I figured they were like the sun and the moon, the cycling that happened like that, where sun would set on him and it would rise on her. And then she would make Deus Ex essentially to replace her. So it would be a rotating door of sorts. But I would say about halfway through, you realize they're not.
Yeah.
You realize, well, they could not be.
Here's something that I found particularly interesting.
Hmm.
Okay. the characters, most of the characters, and I did some digging in this, the characters had like references to Roman gods. So
explain, because I don't see the resemblance.
Okay. Not in their actions or anything like that, but in terms of more so their names. So you take number 12, right? He has that big old head. He's dressed in black. He enacts his own justice. He's named blind after guy. Huh?
Blind one.
Yeah. He's named after Pluto. He's named after Hades, the Roman god of afterlife.
I didn't catch that part.
And so that you makes have sense. Minene, right? The girl that lost her eye, the terrorist, Minerva. She's named after
Bomber Babe.
Yeah, she's named after Minerva, the Roman goddess of wisdom, commerce, weaving, crafts, and magic.
Damn. Not one in there was blowing shit up.
But
okay.
Yeah, right? But wisdom, the smarts, right? To be able to escape and move and plan ahead, be able to facilitate and disguise herself. This fits Yuki to the T, right? He's named after Jupiter, the Roman god of sky, weather, and lightning. I mean, like the waterworks. The waterworks and the amount of crying. I mean, waterworks, you know, weather, lightning from all the crying and wailing he was doing. The sky from him staring up at the sky going, why am I so useless?
I couldn't. That was one episode I couldn't get like behind, if that makes any sense.
You know, she's named after, yes. You know. Yeah. Okay. She's named after Juno. Or Juno in Latin, and she's the Roman goddess of motherhood and fertility, or femininity. Sorry, motherhood and femininity. Or Juno.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Right. So, I mean, like, are you seeing the pattern here? Like, there. Well,
who's our main character based after?
I just said it.
Our male
Jupiter.
No.
Yeah, Jupiter, the god of sky, weather, and lightning. That's why I said.
I was hoping. You were joking.
No, I'm serious.
Really, that is foul. That's just foul.
No, I'm serious.
Doing Jupiter dirty like that. How dare you put that name there?
Right. Well, the kid, right? The 4-year-old or whatever. Yeah, he was named after Circe, the goddess of fertility.
Odd way to die, but okay.
Yeah, right. You name a 4-year-old after the goddess of fertility. And then you murder him. That makes sense.
I love it and hate it, but I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad it's over.
Well, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's over for a couple of reasons, but it is what it is.
I was just saying, I'm glad we recorded. That's why I'm glad it's over, so we could record.
Yes. Yes.
One of my favorite parts about the show is there's a short, and sometimes not so short, after story.
Yes.
To every episode. And it's just
the after stories were kind of interesting and fun to watch because some of them were
fourth wall breaks.
Yeah. Sorry. And also kind of gave you the view of, you know, like how they were given their future diaries, so to speak, because not all of them were summoned there and given it normally, you know. So you had Murmur basically going up, getting dressed in some funky way or anything like that, and basically saying, here you go, in a goofy, fun, or interesting way. Right? Kind of break. It was a nice break from the seriousness and the heaviness of this series.
Yeah, I would say that it was almost needed. But did you happen to notice the kind of adventures she was going on?
You mean like completely self-serving, there for her own pure enjoyment and everything like that?
See, I kind of saw it as a mimic of Yuki and Yuno's first date, because all the attractions they went on, Murmur's like, I want to go on that too.
Well, with the exception of the train. There was only like two of them where it was like that. There was only two. Like, I can guarantee you Yuki and Yuno were not in a bed together. I can also guarantee you that Yuki and Yuno were not there with God, what's that character?
Super important, since you remembered it off the top of your head. Talk about the white haired one?
No. Hinata's father? I can't remember his name. Like,
oh.
Yeah, you know, when he's there with the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, obviously not there. Same thing with the blind guys, you know, like they were, it's not a recreation of their first date. So by any stretch of the word,
well,
I mean, unless that's one crazy kinky first date, I'll tell you that right now, that'd be pretty wild.
Well,
what?
Par for the course. She True. Was already into it.
Yeah.
If you look at the last little bit, she, Yuki was trying to attract Yuno, and Murmur kept dressing her up in different items to try to gain his attention. And one of them was an outfit.
But she was, she also dressed like a geisha before that.
You know,
you get full there's spectrum, levels right? To it. There's levels. There's levels there, to it. There are. But I'd have to say, I mean, like, it was fine all the way up to the very end where it kind of started falling apart for me, but not really at the exact same time was the time traveling portion of it, or not really the time traveling portion, right? They dabbled in it, but it worked out.
I see what you're saying, but what kind of ended up happening, in my opinion, is a complete clusterfuck, complete, just absolute debauchery of what could have happened, because we
True.
We find out that the whole premise of the story is our main character, Yuno. Wait, no, Yuki.
Well, they're both there. The guy? So you learn, the guy is Yuki, the girl is Yuno, Yuki. But you learn that this isn't actually the first world, right? And that's where
not even close.
And that's where I'm really glad they distinguished that it's. There's actually multiple infinite number of parallel worlds where these same events could happen. And so what the beginning makes sense, I want to say around episode 20.
More than that, I thought. More like 22,
23. No, because
I thought it was far closer.
Far closer to the, No. I think it really came to head like maybe 21, 22 at the absolute latest. Because you had like two or three, you had a good three episodes at least after that.
Yeah. Yeah. But those that were just fighting and stuff like that.
Yeah. But I didn't say good as in good. I said good as in complete episodes after that.
That's fair. You're right. They do introduce time travel. But I have a question for you. Something to bug the crap out of me. So we realized that in the first world, Yuno wins.
Yes.
Yuki dies in a Romeo Juliet type situation, right?
Yes, kind of.
And the idea that they had is we can bring the dead back. We can fix it all. Once I become God, everything comes back. And then she finds out, oh shit, it doesn't. You can bring the body back, but the soul, it's gone forever. What is dead stays dead. And she went through the whole second story, if you will, essentially
save him to make him become God to make him become God. So that way she died. And that's where I said, well, no, she didn't say, keep him alive just to kill him. She kept him alive. So that way he could become God and she would be the one that dies. Cause that's ultimately what she wants. Right.
You would think,
but here's my question, right?
Yep.
Here's my question. Why do all that? And why would it matter? Right. If that all that happens and everything like that, if he becomes God, like she's already won the first time. So she's already a God. Why in the parallel world? Why in the parallel world does it matter? Why not just make him become God in that parallel world? And then they're both gods together. Why not just do that?
Thank you. My question was, since every one of the holders died except for him and her, and she technically wasn't even part of this game.
And the phone for the original one that was there got destroyed.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, by default, he wins. I mean, like at that point, you could say, hey, guess what? He actually is the only one here. I'm actually not a part of this whole thing. You never said anyone couldn't interfere or any shit like that. Right.
True enough. Very, very true. And it makes sense. And to you and I, it makes perfect sense. But his emo ass never changed. And when she eventually, like, lets him win, she did all the heavy lifting. When she eventually lets him win, he ends up just depressed, emo status, for thousands of years.
Yes.
Thousands of years, where it's only him and his murmur, I guess, and his just his diary, and he's just reading it, crying everlasting tears.
Now, granted, that is not the entire ending in its entirety, and there's a lot more that happens there. And
it's the one that matters.
It's, you know, it's, well, it's not the one that matters, because there's more to it. There's more that happens, and they do elaborate on a lot more, too.
We are glossing over it in the hopes that you'll actually watch it.
Exactly.
Just understand that the main character is a whiny baby, and it doesn't change.
Well, ever.
He does.
He changes only to change back to a whiny little baby again. So, you know, he doesn't change. He has a momentary portion where homeboy lives for 10,000 years. He's still the same thing. I mean, like, at that point, you no longer are beholden to the, well, it's just a kid. What do you expect? No, after 10,000 years, he's no longer just a kid.
Shouldn't be, at least. He's an all-powerful deity that is crying in a corner.
Yes. So, with our wonderful deity in a corner named Yuki crying.
Ooh, that's actually a good title. Deity in a corner.
Deity in a corner, crying. On a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this? I foresee a 10 in your future.
No. Wrong diary, bro.
No.
Hey, it changed.
See, not wrong diary then. Just the future has changed.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm going to go. The more we talked about it, the more of the virtue I got out of it. Everyone had their own motive, except for our main, obviously. Everyone had their own uniqueness, which was kind of cool. The story was original. The animation was decent. I didn't really remember any music, so there's a few points off for that. I'm going to go middle of the road, 5 to 6. Know what I mean? But it's like a very weak 6 or a strong 5. So I'm going to go with a strong 5. It's not something I'd want to watch again, but it's not. I would mention it if someone was like, I need a time filler with a good story that would keep me on the edge.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm actually going higher.
Really?
I'm going higher. The reason why I'm going higher.
Epidemic.
I'm going seven. I'm going number 7. The reason why I'm going 7 is because of the thought that went into the actual show. Now, granted, there are like the problem that I had, right? One of the big problems was, like, why didn't they just make Yuki Gata? They could be this. There are some things, and there's a couple scenes that just leaves me some questions that lead me to a point to where maybe, and maybe in her fit of rage and losing her sanity because of not being able to revive the Yuki in her world, she couldn't bear, honestly, to continue to live, right? And when you're truly depressed, how she was, after reaching that pinnacle point and finding out the truth, you would almost immediately go and do the exact same thing and hide and sabotage it to make sure that you weren't the one that survived, so you wouldn't have to live with all that other crap again. But
that makes sense.
You know, but there's a lot more that goes into it. There's a lot more that plays into it. And I mean, I feel like I don't necessarily want to watch it again, but if I ended up watching it again, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like, it's like, hey, we should totally watch this together. All right. Yeah, sure.
So if it came on, you wouldn't change the channel.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, so I'm in the boat of, I wouldn't personally change the channel, but if the channel was changed, I would not be mad.
Yeah. I wouldn't be mad either, but you know,
oh,
so, yeah, 5 for you, 7 for me. I enjoyed it slightly a little bit more. Well, so next week's choice is actually one of yours, sir, and we're actually doing
it is
Trinity 7, the 2 OVAs. So we're gonna actually be watching the 2 OVAs, and in case anyone wants to know, episode 168 is where we watch the series. I watched the OVAs and we talked a little bit about it more after the show. And Rick's like, well, you know what? I want to watch the OVAs too. So we're doing the OVAs for this next one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like we've, you know, missed something, got something right, got something wrong or anything like that about this particular choice, about the future diaries, we'd be happy to hear from you and tell us exactly what you think about it. You reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter. Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com if you want to buy yourself some swanky swag, or patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to some bonus content and everything else that we're trying to do for our patrons out there. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and my diary says we'll see you next time.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.